Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and we're excited to be on the air. Your hosts for today's show are Robert Brining and Jack McEnroe. They will be taking your calls and speaking out on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That's 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Pause IM Radio. I am Robert Brining. I am joined by my co-host, Jack McEnroe. How are you doing today, Jack?
I'm all good. What's up?
I'm excited, man. I'm excited to speak with, you know, Angina and hear a little bit about her experience.
Yeah, me too. Actually, you are?
Yeah.
You're scared of a little dry queen?
Well, you know, it's just the first, you know, initial meeting, you know. It just kind of makes me a little nervous, when I first talked with you.
Yeah, well, you know, that dissipates after 5 minutes. So, right. And actually, we thought she was going to call in at 2:15 because she, I don't know if she likes to be referred to as she or he. We'll get that all straightened out. But she still works at her old job. She's a merchandising, she does merchandising at a store in L.A. So I'll talk to her about that, if she's going to keep that job. I know it's already difficult for her to, you know, navigate the post-reality stardom with an actual 9-to-5 job or whatever her schedule is. So should be.
So she's in L.A.
I just got off the phone with her. Say, well, yeah, she's in L.A. I just got off the phone with her. She's kind of under the weather, so she's actually not working today. She has a cold, so but she is gracing us with her presence any moment now. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Real quick, before she comes on, I just want to remind everybody that you can learn more about Jack at his website at jackmcenroth.com and his livingpositivebydesign.com. Right, that's the address, right? It's not a .org.
Yep. Livingpositivebydesign.com.
And you can also check out the Pause IM community at pauseim.com. Just want to also remind everyone that this radio show is a biweekly show. We are here Wednesdays at 2 o'clock. I'm here with Jack. And then on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm with Jeremy. So we do do it twice a week to bring you, you know, real stories of real people. And Sunday we will be sitting down with one of our members of the Pause IM community, Brian Morgan, who was actually a guest on the Jenny Jones show. And he spoke with Out of Control Gay Teens. About, you know, the infection rates and things like that. That was back when Jenny Jones was on.
I was like, remember Jenny Jones? She was a hot mess.
Jones of Ricky Lake. Next Wednesday, sitting in with me and Jack will be Mark S. King, and he's actually an author and activist who has a vlog, which, if you don't know what that is a video blog, on thebody.com. So he's going to sit in with us, and we're going to talk about his book and things like that. Next
cool.
Week. So let's see. As I'm waiting for them to come in, I'm just trying to see what else. You can also become a fan of the radio show by checking us out on Facebook. We do have a fan page on Facebook. And you can also follow the radio show and Jack on Twitter.
Everyone's Twittering, even though I hate tweeting. But I also just added the links to the Pause IM community and to this the Pause IM radio show to my website. Front page.
Okay,
so.
I have Angina on the line, so.
Excellent.
Let's see if I can get her on. Angina, welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Hi.
How are you?
I feel like shit. How are you?
We were just saying that you were a little teeny bit under the weather.
I know. My fever's going down, so I feel a little bit better.
Well, that's good. Well, thanks for calling in, even though you're feeling like shit.
Well, it's okay. I wrapped myself in my duvet, and I'm just sitting. Well, I'm laying here. So
before we even.
As long as I don't have to do much, I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, as long as you can hold the phone to your ear, you'll be fine.
Right.
I think I'll be okay. No break dancing in bed.
So, wait, before we even get started, I want to know, do you prefer to be referred to as he, she, her, like, Just seeing the whole pronoun thing is confusing, because you kind of do boy drag, so.
I do boy drag, and, you know, I've been asked this question many times, and I always just, if I'm in face, I think it's easier to refer to me as she, but if
right.
I'm not in face, it's easier to refer to me as he.
Right.
We can't see you right now.
Yeah.
Oh, honey, I am fully bearded. I haven't shaved in 2 weeks. So you can refer to me as he.
Okay.
Fabulous. So for people that don't know, just we all know you, and I watch the show religiously, RuPaul's Drag Race, but can you just give a quick bio of, you know, you, your life, your experience, and just your appearance on the show and all that?
Yeah, well, basically, I started doing the gender bend sort of drag when I moved to New York City on my 21st birthday, and it was because I befriended a lot of kind of club kid type of kids out in New York City going out to clubs and stuff like that, so I kind of opted for the whole wig situation, and I went for more of, like, you know, the boy drag. And then not until I started working for Lucky Chang's, which is in New York. I don't know if many people are familiar with it.
Of course. I love Lucky Chang's.
Right. I love Lucky Chang's, too, is when I started experimenting with, you know, full-on female impersonation.
Right.
And then kind of elevated the persona there.
For those of you who don't know, Lucky Chang's is a restaurant. I think it's still around. It's in the East Village, and all the waitresses are like trannies and drag queens, and they do performances throughout the night. It's fabulous.
What's it called again?
Right.
Lucky Chang's.
I don't know if that's the one I've been to. I've been to one in New York called Lips, I think.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's
a
different
one.
That's a different
on
one.
West Village. That was our main competitor.
Yeah, Lucky Chang's is better.
So, but, and then, you know, I actually moved to Los Angeles almost 2 years ago, and I boxed up Angina, and I said I wasn't going to do drag when I came to LA. I was going to focus on my career and what I do, you know, as a day job. And then one day, which was New Year's, my friend asked me to come out and drag, and I was like, no, I don't want to. You know, it's too much work. And then I just fell in love with her again, and so I bought her out of the box, and then, you know, finally, and then it's gotten to this point where now I was a contestant in RuPaul's Drag Race, and people recognize me for being on TV. So it's pretty amazing.
And how did you get to? I mean, I know the process for Project Runway audition. What was the audition like for RuPaul?
Well, I actually I was featured in a photo exhibit by a friend of mine. La Madre, who did photos of me while I was out in clubs and stuff, and she was having an art opening, a photo opening, in South Central, and in a house, actually. And there, she said that she needed me to meet this person who's doing a casting for a new reality show. And I was like, okay, you know, in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to kind of be, you know, somewhat famous. That would be fun. Reality TV. Woohoo, you know.
Right.
And so, so anyway, sorry, something just like said something to me. And then she was asking me if I would be interested in doing it. And then come to think of it, I was like, well, I don't really have time to do it because of my day job. You know, I'm really busy with my day work, and, you know, I do the Angina thing just because as a hobby, you know, once in a while. And she's like, just do it. Really, it's going to be a really good thing for you. And I didn't think that I was ever going to have a chance. So she's like, just put all of your videos and a little something on a DVD and send it to me. And then I'll send it to the producers, and we'll go from there. And I was like, no, I don't want to. And then she called me. She called me literally like every single day until it was due for a week. And I remember it being due on a Wednesday, and she called me every day. I met her on a Friday, I think. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. So I sent it in, and then, you know, a week or so later, she's like, can you come in to do like an in-person interview in our office? And I was like, sure, you know. So I did that. And then a month later, I got a letter from RuPaul, you know, like, I think she sent it out to probably all the queens that applied for it. saying thank you for your interest in the show. And I was like, oh, this is exciting. And then a month later after that, I got a call from one of the producers and asked me to if I would like to get casted for the show. So
wow.
And I was actually on my way to work crossing, because at this point, now that I sent in all of my videos, even though in the beginning I said no, I was getting really excited because the process of, you know, trying to get onto the show was you just wait. Like, you just sit there and wait. You have an interview and you wait. Then you turn in something and then you wait. And so you wait and wait and wait. So you're like at the edge of your seat and you're like, okay, I'm just waiting, you know, but you're really still excited about it. And I started to get excited about it because everyone was talking about it. I went on the website where people were sending in their videos and applications and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a really big deal. So I was getting really excited about it. And then I was walking to work from my car, and I got this call, and the producer had asked me if I wanted to be part of the show, and I started squealing, and I was like stopping traffic. People were like honking, like, I'm sorry, you know, because I was in the middle of the street, but it was amazing.
Oh my God, that's basically what happened to me, same thing. Like, I was walking from the gym, and they called me, and they're like, were you under this weird confidentiality, like you weren't allowed to tell anyone after that?
No, I wasn't allowed to tell anybody. Like, I couldn't even tell my mom. My mom's like, where are you going? I'm like, well, I'm taking a personal leave of absence. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, I can't tell you. They'll kill me. And so I just told her that I was going to be filming something and that she's going to be very excited about it. And she's like, all right. She's like, are you getting paid? I'm like, I don't know if I'm getting paid.
Honey, a logo, trust me,
I'm
not getting paid.
Exactly, but I was like, but I'm going to be on TV.
Right.
So she was just really concerned because I do all these crazy things, you know, like when I moved to New York, I decided to move to New York literally like 3 weeks after September 11th. And so I kind of I make these decisions based out of like just doing it. And so she was just really worried for me that I was about to make another decision where it's just like, oh, I'm going to do it just to do it, you know, without like any thought process. And so she was just a little concerned. But, you know, she watched the show and she's really proud of me. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, no, and you were, I know you went to Europe right when the finale was airing and we had talked briefly before. But I was at the logo-sponsored finale party and everyone...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was like, oh, I really want Nina Flowers to win, but, you know, my favorite is Angina. Like, you're totally a fan favorite. Everyone adores you.
Oh, thank you. I wish they would have given me a check for a fan favorite.
I
did that for Project Runway.
I know. I was hoping for that, too. It didn't happen.
right. So, yeah, I went to Europe for 12 days just to kind of get away because I had been so stressed out with my day job and then being a drag queen and then the show and everything that was just happening. It was kind of like go, go, go. That, you know, I got my tax return and I was like, woohoo, I'm going to Europe. So that's what I did.
How are you balancing all that now? Are you, like, first of all, is there some place people can see you in LA? Do you do shows? Like, what's your story?
Yeah, I mean, I am kind of a resident drag queen at La Cita, which is in downtown LA, every Monday for a party called Mustache Mondays.
Okay.
So I'm there mostly every Monday unless I have I do visual merchandising and I do my floor sets on Monday nights. So unless I have a floor set that night, then I'm not able to go. And but most recently, I'm going to be Rage on the 18th, which is this Saturday.
Excellent.
Which is in West Hollywood, and the show is around midnight. And I'm going to be in Detroit, actually, on the 25th for the Michigan AIDS Coalition. And it's a denim benefit where they're going to be, they invited 100 or so designers to reconstruct denim, and they're going to be doing a silent auction for it, and it's at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Detroit. So
cool.
Yeah, and
now,
also, everything else that I have going on, you guys can actually find on www.angina.com.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you had a website. Okay.
You beat me to it. That's exactly what I was going to ask. Now, Angina, you've been you want me to call you Ryan or Angina? Because I don't want to.
You can call me Angina.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
You can call me O if you want.
Okay, O.
if my Angina makes you uncomfortable.
Not at all. I dated a drag queen. I know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Been there, done that.
Okay.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is you've been HIV positive for what, 2 years?
3 years now. I actually just celebrated my third year 2 days ago.
Okay. Now, have you been involved in awareness and activism and stuff like that, or is this something that kind of just sprung from you opening up on show?
Yeah, it just happened from opening up from the show. I mean, I was you know, I do the AIDS walk every year. I've been doing it for the last 6 years since New York City. And I try to donate where I can here and there. But as far as, you know, creating awareness and things like that, it hasn't started until I came out of the closet on the show. And now I'm trying to kind of create more awareness by attending a lot of, you know, I get a lot of invitations for benefits and things like that I want to be a part of so that I can, you know, somewhat help out as much as I can.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's wonderful that you opened up on television. I know it was hard because you didn't tell your parents until after the show, after you were done filming and went home. And
yeah,
I've read a lot of it.
Them.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I read a couple interviews where, you know, you really talk about the conversation you had sitting down with your mom and telling her. And I think I commend you for that because that conversation is so important, those stories about sharing with our family and knowing that your family didn't, you know, that they accepted you and your mom's like your big support system now. That's important for other people to hear, so I applaud you for that.
Thank you. I mean, it was, you know, being that they're very traditional Filipino parents, especially my mom, you know, she immigrated to this country to give us, you know, kind of a better life and to kind of leave the Philippines so that we can survive and you know, and all that good stuff. And then for me to have this conversation with her, I didn't want her to see it as failure or disappointment on her part, you know, because she had nothing to do with it, but because she's my mom, I knew that she would take it somewhat as like that, and I wanted to reassure her that nothing that she did or is doing has affected, you know, my life and my life decisions, and that this, me being HIV positive, does not mean that this is something that, you know, like most of like a lot of people think that, you know, sometimes when you get diagnosed with HIV, it's like a death sentence, and it's not like that anymore. There's so many support systems out there, and there's a lot of people that care and that the people are willing to help out. And I wanted her to know that, you know, there's nothing that's going to happen with me, that I'm exactly the same person I was, you know. And I'm you know, I was just really afraid to talk to her about it because I didn't know how to approach her about it. She's my mom, you know, like, how do you tell your parents this certain situation? It's hard.
Well, I know you said on the reunion show that her response was like, "You're so stupid. Like, why didn't you tell me sooner?"
Well, yeah, because, you know, she's really funny because I was like, when she was like, "Sit down," she's like, well, when she was like, "How are you? How's life?" And when I was like, "Sit down, you know, let me tell you what's going on," she's like, "Oh my God, are you going to jail?" Like, oh, you know, I was like, "No, Mom, I just have something to tell you." She's like, "Do you need money? How much money do you need?" And I was like, "Well, I have been eyeing a new Louis, but not right now." So when I told her, you know, just her mannerisms, she's really caring, and she's, you know, she cares about me. And so when I first told her, I was like, "So I want to tell you that I have been HIV positive." She was funny because she was like, "Oh man," and we were laughing because that was her initial reaction, that she said, "Oh man," and I'm just like, "Oh my God, this is why I love you," because I didn't even know why I was so afraid to go into this conversation in the first place, because I knew how easy it was going to be, I guess I just didn't know what reactions, you know, her initial reaction was going to be. But after that, I was able to, like, tell her everything that has been going on since my diagnosis until today. So, I mean, it was one of the best conversations that I've ever had. And she did, you know, she was like, why didn't you tell me? If there's anybody that you needed to tell, it should have been me. And I was like, I know this. Like, I know that. I just was waiting for the right moment to tell you, and I didn't think that there was ever going to be a right moment to tell you. And knowing that you would have been like you could accept it as much as I thought that you would have, like, I was just scared.
Well, yeah. I think it's harder to tell your family if you're really close with your family than it is to hear the information yourself. Like, when I found out, I was like, oh, that sucks. But then you're like, my immediate first thought was, oh, my God, my mom is going to, you know, freak out. I mean, granted, this was 20 years ago, so it was the prospects were a lot more grim. But it's still, you know, you're especially people that really aren't educated in the HIV community and don't know a lot about it, automatically think, oh, my God, you're going to die. And you don't want it. It's really hard to give that information to people you know that love you. So
right.
So, but I think I have never really heard of, I mean, I know it's very scary, but, you know, most of the time I think parents and people that love you, they're just concerned for you. And it is a scary process to go through, but, like, you need that support. And it helps. I mean, it helps to not be, I think when you're honest and honest about everything, the relationship is better and healthier. I mean, you may go through some sort of difficult, weird transition, but once they have the education around it, I think it's better.
Right, right.
So I want to ask you, in that very moment when you just won the challenge for the Max Challenge, what was your thought process? Like, why did you decide to say on national television?
Well,
you know,
there was not really a thought process. I think that my emotions kind of took over me, and you know, I was so happy to have won the challenge because it meant so much to me. And no one knew why this challenge meant so much to me, because I had not disclosed this information to any of the contestants or the judges. I mean, I'm sure, well, the producers knew, but I told them to not use the context of me being HIV positive in the show because of my parents not knowing.
Right.
But right after I had won the challenge and being a spokesperson for Viva Glam, who does so much for, you know, and the Mac AIDS Fund, who does so much for the cause, I was overwhelmed with the emotions, and I was so happy that I just came out. You know, I just said it. I wanted to, like, really show the sincerity of my emotion and why I was so happy to have won a challenge just really hits close to home for me, you know. And that's really the main reason. It's like, I said it because I was extremely happy about being a representative for Mac AIDS Fund and winning a challenge that was so important to me. Because even in the beginning of the challenge, when they were like, we want you to be a Mac Viva Glam spokesperson, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is my challenge. Like, I want this so bad. You know,
right.
And I didn't think I was going to win, because you didn't see this while it was airing on TV, but Santino gave Bibi Zahara a standing ovation for her PSA, you know, for being, like, the queen of Africa, because she somewhat, you know, it hits close to home for her, too, because of her surroundings and what she grew up watching. And,
of course.
And you know, and I you know, and I understand that, but for me, it was just like, when I first heard about the challenge, I was like, I want to win this challenge. I want to be a spokesperson for Viva Glam, knowing exactly what Viva Glam does for the cause.
And I'm sorry, when you, like, went up and wrote Celebrate on the plexiglass or whatever that was, and I thought yours was so adorable. I just loved it. So I'm glad you won.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I'm glad that I won, too. I mean, you know, like I said, I commend Bibi for her PSA as well, and all the girls. But I just, in the back of my mind, I was just like, this is so important to me that I have to win this challenge.
Right.
So.
And I just want to mention, too, that for people that didn't see RuPaul's Drag Race as it was airing, like most things on Logo, it's rerunning like constantly. And
like,
and if you can't, a lot of people, it's rerunning constantly, and so you can see they're doing a lot of marathons with it now, which is great. So you can watch all the episodes in a row. The other thing is a lot of people don't have the Logo channel because it just depends on your cable provider, but you can watch all the episodes online, correct? Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's on RuPaul'sDragRace.com, and it actually runs on VH1 as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it's running on their sister network, I guess is what they call it. But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess they're going to be doing marathons until next year when they do season two.
I know, which I know season two has been greenlit already, so
yes,
that's cool.
Yes, May 1st is actually when they're going to start doing auditions for it, I believe. That's what I heard.
Excellent.
Through the grapevine. So any drag queens out there that wants to do the show, do it. You know, give it all you can.
Now, in reality TV, you and I both know, you see only a sliver of what really goes on.
Yeah,
and I don't think the public can grasp how hard it is and the time allotment. When they give you, like, 15 or half hour to do your makeup and pull together your whole look, like, how much of that was so crazy? Did you have to sew a lot of your outfits, like, all that stuff?
Well, the first two challenges, we had to create our outfits. As you know, the first challenge was Drag on a Dime, and we had to create an outfit out of dollar store pieces and thrift store pieces in a matter of, I would say, 6 hours.
Right.
You know, and create something that reflected your persona. And then the second challenge was a girl group challenge, and we had to create an outfit from fabrics that they've provided us that kind of were cohesive to a whole, like, girl group sort of image. Not until the third challenge were we able to actually wear our own pieces.
Right.
Which we were actually very frustrated because we were waiting to show off the pieces that we had because I didn't have that much, you know, like, I had outfits that I knew I wanted to wear, but I didn't have, like, thousands of dollars worth of costumes. Like,
well, like Chanel's crazy.
Seriously, when she was unloading her suitcases, she had these, like, big, huge plastic suitcases, like those heavy-duty ones. Everything that would come out of it, I felt like my jaw just was dropped. I'm just like, oh, my God, what is that? And then she pulls another thing, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what is that? And she's like, oh, this old thing? And I was like, you bitch. And then I'm pulling and pulling and pulling, and I'm just like, oh. And then I saw the Medusa headdress, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I need to borrow that. She's like, mm-hmm. Like, fine, I'm just going to have to fucking steal it. But, no, it was, you know, we did, and then I guess in the later challenges, like, I wasn't there anymore, but the later challenges was just, like, the vodka challenge. They had to create, you know, more pieces to show on the runway. And, I mean, it was hard. I mean, we would film from 9 a.m. until 9:30 p.m., and you know, every single day for however long we were there for. And
you had it easy.
No, but the thing
we were 5 a.m. We filmed 5 a.m. until 1 o'clock in the morning every day with no days off.
Oh, no. See,
yeah,
the thing is,
we were like crack whores, honey.
Yeah, during the elimination round where we would be on the main stage, we were standing there in our pumps from noon until 9 p.m. And anybody knows, I mean, seriously, you cannot stand in 6-inch stilettos for more than 4 or 5 hours. I mean, yeah, mind you, if you had a chair to sit on for maybe an hour of that, it would be okay. But it got to the point where we were getting so upset that we just started taking off our pumps. We're like,
yeah,
we don't
of course.
Care.
Of course.
We just took it off. And then, you know, one of the judges during the girl group challenge was like, you always have to be on point. That means that doesn't matter if your feet hurt, you have to make sure that your pumps on at all times. I'm like, you stand up here with your pumps on for 6 hours. and tell me how you feel. We were like, fuck this. We're taking off her shoes. So,
that's,
but,
well, and,
you know,
and
it was, it, go ahead.
Did you have a lot more interaction with, because basically it's like very RuPaul-centric. It's like RuPaul really seems to make all the decisions, but I'm sure like the other judges had their two cents, you know, and we had their feedback,
yeah.
But you just, that just all got edited out.
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, probably each, I mean, like I said, we will fit, even on our elimination round on the main stage, we were there for at least, you know, 8 hours, you know, 7, 8 hours, and each judge were allowed to speak as however long they wanted, and they edited it down to, what, 2 minutes of each person? But
not even.
Yeah, not even. Maybe like, you know,
a couple sentences.
30
yeah.
seconds. Yeah. But there was a lot that all those judges had to say about other, you know, what, like, the contestants and things like that. And, you know, some of them were criticism that you can really learn from, and some of them were just playing out, really? He just said that? Santino just said that.
Yeah,
like,
Santino,
you know,
Santino,
but,
what do you think of Santino? He's like, he's an interesting character. Yeah.
You know, he is an interesting character, but, you know, I signed up for this knowing that I was going to get critiqued, and I'm not going to get any better if I don't take into consideration what other people's opinion might be. I mean, I stuck to the Angina persona the whole way through because I was like, this is me. I don't talk. I mean, I will if I have to, you know. I don't wear wigs, but I will if I have to. But Angina is, you know, she's kind of like a free spirit. Like, she's bald. She's crazy. She's, you know, androgynous, you know, boy drag. But, I mean, everyone had something to say about it. And you know what? Bring it on because – no matter what you have to say about it, I'm still fierce. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, like, this is still who I am. Like, I'm not going to change that for anybody else. I'm, you know, I could do the context, meaning, you know, like the Oprah challenge. I changed my whole persona so I can.
Your Connie Chung moment was hilarious.
Right. Thank you. So that in itself was sort of different, but every time on the main stage, I wanted to deliver Angina because if people are going to watch me and people are going to relate to me, I wanted them to relate and watch the real me rather than, like, who I've become because of what the judges wanted me to be. Like, I'm not going to go out on the main stage and say, oh, I'm going to be this time around because the judges yesterday told me that I needed to be like this time around. No. Like, I'm going to give you Angina the whole way through because this is what Angina is all about. You know what I mean?
Right. Is there
Go ahead. I was just going to do that real quick. I just want to let people know if you're out there listening, you can call in and speak with us at 347-215-9442, or you can use Skype and click the talk button. One thing I wanted to ask you, O, the big O, was how different is Angina from Ryan? Are they like two different worlds?
I think I can get away with a lot more things as Angina than I can being Ryan. I think in any situation, if you put yourself in an outfit and you create this character, I think that you are able to somewhat get away with a lot more things than if you are, you know, in reality. And a lot of people, like my friends, that, you know, bless their heart, they're all cunts. They told me that they would rather hang out with Angina than Ryan because they think that Angina is nicer than Ryan. I am not a mean person. Like, I don't know what it is about it, but I think it's being in character and being in drag. I think people, you know, I think you're a little bit more approachable because you are in character where, you know, because when I go out there now after the television show or even before, like, people will come up to me and like, oh, my God, we love you. We love your performance, blah, 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 et cetera. But when I'm a boy and I go out to the same places and these same people see me, they don't come up to me and talk to me. And I'm just like, what's the matter? Like, I am the exact same person from last week, except I had eyelashes on, and this week I don't. Like, what? Like, come talk to me. I talked to you last week. You know, like, but I think that my who I am as a person, I think, kind of reflects somewhat on both Angina and Ryan, just being, like, this fun, free, spirited, sort of, like, bubbly type of person. Even when I'm working my day job, you know, I always try and put a smile on my face and be as happy as I can be. Life's too short to be angry and
hell yeah.
You know,
I actually have a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring the caller on. Caller 904, where are you calling from and what's your name?
This is Dab from Jacksonville, Florida.
Hey, Dab.
Hey, Dab.
Hi, Dan.
How y'all doing? I just wanted to commend you, Gina. I was one of the first Americans diagnosed with HIV in the early 80s. So I've heard a lot of stories of people telling about their HIV status. And I was sitting there watching the drag show and wasn't expecting someone to come out about their status. And the way you did it with such honesty and emotion touched me to the bone, and I just wanted to commend you because you set an example for all the other people out there to have the courage to do the same.
Thank you so much. That means a lot, you know, coming from you, especially who has been living with it for so long, and me being so new to it, and it's just knowing that if as much as I can inspire you, you've inspired me by telling me your story, knowing that I can live, you know, as long of a life as you have. Just thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And also, I'll talk to Robert after the show to get your information, because I do some events for children with HIV and AIDS, and I'd be interested in talking to you about opportunities of booking.
Oh, perfect. Yes, you can, yeah. For sure. You can. My email is on my website, too, so if you wanted to get it through there, it's on angina.com, and we'll discuss, and, you know, I'll be more than happy to do it.
Fantastic. I saw your website. Beautiful pictures.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Dab.
And actually, Dab will be a guest on the show. He's on May 3rd. He actually does a thing called a website called Dab's Bear Project. So it's kind of interesting. It does a lot of cool things for people. So, again, if you guys out there want to listen, call in, you can call us at 347-215-9442.
Which I think, Anjana, that which is really great is there's, you know, and I'm sure you've gotten a lot of the same outreach from people now that you're in the public eye, that there's so many people, unfortunately, that are newly diagnosed, and I don't think there's that many public spokespeople, you know, I mean, you've only been living with it for now, it's 3 years, and it's like, it's great that you can show that whole demographic of newly diagnosed people that, look, I'm doing fine, I don't know whether you're on meds or not, but it's like, you know, I'm taking care of myself, I'm pursuing my dreams, I still have a full career, I'm fabulous, all that, so I think it's important to just be vocal.
I think it's very important too, you know, like, it's just you got to keep your head up, you know, like no matter what happens in life, I think there's always going to be a bump in the road. And, you know, you have to, I guess what they say here in America, you take the bull by the horns. I am not very good with all those, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie, you know, I was depressed for the first six or seven months when I was diagnosed. And if I continued being depressed, that wasn't going to help me, you know, with my life and who I am as a person to continue living the life that I live. And I wasn't going to let that put me down. And I just kind of kicked it to the side and I was just like, you know, I have it. Now I just want to make sure I take care of myself and keep moving forward and make sure that I do everything in my power, you know, to stay healthy and hopefully, you know, and I will live as long as I can. So, you know, it's hard. It's emotionally, physically, it's very tough, especially, you know, I mean, you guys obviously know, but it's not the easiest thing, but there are people out there that care, and there's so many things that you could do with your life, and to sit around and mope about it and be depressed about it shouldn't be an option. You know, I started to realize that there's more to it than being depressed and being sad about it. So,
well, I think that's not uncommon. I mean, I think especially when you're, you know, a lot of people that are in high risk groups, gay guys, whatever, we you know, before we become HIV positive, if we're HIV negative, we know some of the facts, but it really hits home when you find out that you yourself are HIV positive. And yeah, I think getting depressed, like, for at least a little while is to be expected, you know.
Yeah,
I always just
yeah.
tell people, listen, you know, like, now there's so many different treatment options, and there's so many ways to monitor your viral load and your T cells and all that stuff that you can expect to live, like, a normal life expectancy for the most part at this point. Like, that's why, you know, people need to get tested and make sure they are monitoring their blood work and, you know, taking meds if they think it's the right time and, you know, doing all that stuff to be proactive and, you know, that's what will keep people healthy.
Right. Absolutely.
So I have
another caller.
Okay.
Sorry, I have another caller. I have John from the United Kingdom on the air. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Hello, Robert.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, John. Welcome.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good.
Nice to talk again. How are you doing? All right. I just want to turn to Angina. I think she's going to make a fantastic ambassador for the charity. When she came out with it, it touched me quite deep and got me quite emotional, actually. And I was just so pleased with it.
Are you
John? Hello.
Hey.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay.
John, what was your
Can
question
you
again?
Right?
I think your connection is not very good. At least you're cutting out on my end.
Mine too.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I got quite emotional actually when you won that competition.
The Viva Glam.
Yeah. And it actually brought tears to my eyes, actually. So I just want to say I was pleased for you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks,
anyway,
right on.
Anytime.
I have another caller here, area code 602.
Robert,
welcome to Pazheim Radio.
Robert, how are you, sir?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. This is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Welcome to the show.
I have like 15 minutes in between some things I'm doing, and somebody sent me a message that you had Angina on.
Hi.
And how are you, Angina?
I'm well. How are you?
Wonderful. I am calling to thank you and give you the reverence I believe you deserve for what you did.
Oh, thank you.
The thing is, you don't, with me, I've had many people in my life that have passed from this, but I never sat and reflected on them and their meaning to my life until I watched that episode. So thank you.
Oh, I'm thank you. I'm speechless. Thank you so much.
And that's all I had to say.
Well, have a good one. Thanks for calling.
You rock, Robert.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I think on China, you'll never know, at least in my experience, how many people you've touched. It's like...
Do you get a lot of fan mail?
I do. I actually have... I mean, I get it, not even just from Pause people, but, you know, last night I was reading my fan mail on my MySpace, and, you know, a girl, she's probably in her 20s, she wrote me a letter saying that she almost took her life because she was bisexual and she didn't know how to deal with it and her family wasn't supportive, et cetera, et cetera. And after seeing the show, she now realized the importance of celebrating her life, no matter what, you know, if she gets the support from her family or whatnot. And, you know, things like that that I get on a daily basis. And I thank everyone for sharing their story with me, because as much as I'm inspiring them, all of these stories inspire me every day, knowing that there are people living, you know, people out there living with HIV longer than I have, and knowing that they've celebrated life for many, many years, you know, 20, 30 years, and other people that are not HIV positive but have had other problems and, you know, that they're facing. And, you know, to just continually tell me what inspiration I have become to them, I can honestly say that they've become an inspiration for me too. So I thank everyone for their fan mail. And it's funny because I received another mail from a fan, and it started out with, "You're probably sick of hearing this," and I'm like, "No, I'm never sick of hearing this. Like, you know, send me as many letters as you need. I want to try and help, you know,
isn't that
anyone
funny?
That I can." It's like, I trust me, I read every single one of my fan mail, no matter how many it gets, and you know, I read every single one, and I try to respond to every single one of them, and I just want to let all my fans know that I do read everything that I get. So
it's funny because people think that once you're on a reality show, like, I get a lot of, you know, messages through Facebook or MySpace that is like, "You probably will never read this, and probably your assistant reading it." I'm like,
yeah.
Honey, no. I am, like,
right.
Ghetto on a dime, girl. It's like, I'm reading all these things. I don't have no assistant. Are you kidding?
Right. I mean, sometimes I stay up until, like, you know, 2, 3 in the morning, and I have to be at work at, like, 9, 10 in the morning, and I read it, and I respond. And, you know, as hard as it is, because it's, you know, there's a lot of it, but I try to get to every single one of them. So it was the most, when I came back from Europe and I hadn't checked my MySpace and Facebook, and that's when it was a little bit harder for me to get to every single one of the emails, but I tried. And like I said, I, you know, if I didn't get to it, I'm sorry, but I wanted to let everyone know that I do read it, and I thank everyone for their stories and, you know, what they've shared with me, because it's really, truly is inspiring. So
cool. I have another caller on the line. So, caller, where are you calling from, and what's your name?
St. Louis, Missouri. Linda.
Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Hi. I love you, Jack. I have you on MySpace, and that's how I heard about Aunt Dinah. I had saw the last half of the RuPaul show, and I applaud both of you. Aunt Dinah, just listen to everybody, because I didn't take medicine for about 15 years, and I've been diagnosed since 1990. Both of my baby's daddies are both passed away because they didn't do the right thing, and it took me to turn around and have a wake-up call to realize that I had to take my medicines and to relax and not to get stressed out, because stress does really feed this disease. So just sit back, relax, and take it easy, and do what you do, and take care of yourself. And it was really nice speaking on air. I am really nervous, so, but I love both of you.
Thank you.
My heart's beating so fast.
I just feel.
Well, you need to relax, like you just said.
No, my heart's beating so fast because I'm more excited talking to you and saying hi to Jack. Because both of you are so gorgeous. But,
thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Have Bye-bye. A good one.
That was cute.
That is cute.
It was nice.
That's what I'm saying. They're nervous. Think about me. I'm nervous sitting on the end with both of you on the other end. You know, I'm
sitting here sweating. You get to realize that, like, everyone's just a person. It's like, we've all been, just because you've been on TV doesn't make you any different. Like, we're the same dorks or crazy. I mean, you know, I get nervous talking to whoever.
Oh, yeah. No, me too.
Yeah.
So, Angina, do you love all the fan pictures that you have? Because I noticed, I see them on Facebook, that they make these pictures in the little Cartman. Angina was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, they totally made me, they made me into a South Park character, which was, I thought it was hilarious.
That is genius.
Yeah, it was genius with my little headpiece on it. I thought that was hilarious. So, no, it's definitely, you know, I love it. Like, I love every single one of them. So that's why I put them up on my Facebook so that everyone can see.
Yeah, I don't know who did that illustration. There's a really amazing illustration of you with like a blue background with stars.
Oh yeah, that's Terry from Portland. Actually, he is amazing. He actually designed that same artwork as an illustration drawing for my T-shirt that's coming out hopefully by next week or the week after. So I'm having T-shirts made.
I'm an extra large.
Okay.
And I'm a medium.
Perfect. So I'm having them available through my website and my Facebook and MySpace, and it's gonna be that photo in pencil drawing that says Team Angina on it. So
fabulous.
Cool.
So how do you think, you know, not to, I don't know if we can even forecast this, but how do you think you're going to balance this new career and what you currently do, merchandising? Like, do you think
right.
you'll be able to keep doing them both, or?
You know, I don't know. As of right now, I need both, you know, especially in this economy. I've I'm in charge of 4 stores as a visual merchandiser for the West Coast for my company. So, you know, I've worked as hard as I could to get to that level, and I really don't want to lose it. But at the same time, I really, really love being Angina, and, you know, there's a lot of calling for her at the moment, especially because of the show, and, you know, people want to book me for here and there. And, you know, I'm trying to just manage it so that I can do both right now. I'm not trying to do too much so that I'm not getting stressed out. And that's probably why I'm sick this week, is because I've been doing way too much. But,
right.
You know, my boss has, you know, she's been very flexible with my schedule. And, you know, she works around what I have to do so that I can continue doing Angina as well as continue doing my job. And, you know, so we will see how far this adventure will go, and to see if I need to pick one or the other. And that's going to be a really hard decision when I have to pick one or the other. So,
yeah. Do you have, I mean, I know people can reach you at angina.com, which you've already said. And then do you have an agent? Are you working with a manager,
no,
or an agent?
No, I'm actually a one-man woman show right now. I'm doing
right.
everything. I'm booking all of my shows. But if there's any agents or managers out there that want to manage me, please, angina.com.
Yeah, no, I know it's hard. Initially, I was thinking about myself too, and it's like you with answering all the emails and doing all that stuff and trying to coordinate your schedule and then having another job, and it's really, really overwhelming sometimes. I think people don't really understand that. They think, you know, you come off of TV and you have all these people clamoring to help you, and it's not like that. You, like, really have to hoof it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, I mean, you know, I'm actually in the process of hiring an assistant at the moment, and but I'm just kind of, like, waiting it out so that I can, you know, find the right one.
Right.
And, you know, a few of my friends were like, hire me, and I'm like, girl, you don't know. You don't want to work for me.
I know. Yeah.
I will have you doing my laundry on Saturdays. I don't think you want that.
I wrote out a job. I did the same thing. I wrote a job description out for an assistant. I was like, honey, some days I might ask you to, like, clean my closet, girl, because it's going to be a hot mess. Like,
I know. I need you to separate the boy clothes from the girl clothes.
So you make your own hats, right?
On
John, you make your own hats?
Yes, I have been fortunate enough to wear some of hats from David Mason, who's a friend of mine from New York City. He's done a lot of hats for, like, fashion shows and things like that. And then I started making my own hats when I moved to LA, because I couldn't wear any more of his hats, so I started making my own, which...
I'm going to make you one, too.
Yay! I'm excited. So, so I've made a few of my own, and, you know, it's really therapeutic for me to sit down and, like, super glue things together and then have an outcome and, like, you know, create headpieces. I really like it. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially,
I love the one you made on the show with the Barbie on it.
Yeah, I love that one. I originally wore that for a performance. It's a Barbie doll sitting on a speaker, and I wore her for when I performed "Listen" by Beyonce. So.
Love it. Is there anyone from the show that you really did not get along with? Like, because I know when you're in those close quarters, like it can be kind of a hot mess.
Absolutely. I think that there is always the bickering and the quarreling just from, like, the stress of the daily shoots. But I think, you know, I got along with everyone fine. I befriended a lot of them, and I even though it was competition, I still gotten to know a lot of them, you know, as a person. And so sometimes I would forget that you're in a competition.
Right.
You know, it's funny how that is, because we really did. Like, well, I mean, as I can't speak for anybody else, but I did. Like, sometimes I would go into it just, I was hanging out with these girls, you know, making costumes and doing these challenges. And not until the elimination round did I remember that this is competition and somebody's going home, you know. It was fun. It really was. As hard as it was and as stressful as it was a really fun thing, and it was, you know, it was, I enjoyed myself, so.
Did you guys all live together, like, were you sequestered? Like, how did that work?
I mean, we were in the same hotel in different rooms, but we did not, we didn't live together.
And then when you got eliminated from the show, were you allowed to go home, or did they still keep you there?
No, I was allowed to go home. I went home that night.
Okay,
so.
Yeah, because they kept us the whole time.
Yeah.
But I think because it was your first season, people didn't really, weren't following it so much. No one knew who to, like, look for. So the reason they kept us sequestered is because if one of us, once they released the cast, people got obsessed. And then when we went back out into the real world, if they saw that we were online, they would figure out who was eliminated and all that crap. So.
Right. No, for sure.
All right. Well, we're winding down. We have about 2 minutes. And, Jaina, I want to thank you for calling in and sitting with us for an hour. It means a lot to our community and you know, to the people out there listening. It's very important that people like you come and share their story, you know, so
we
I
love
thank you.
You
for coming on.
Thank you so
and
much.
You're my
thank
favorite.
You to help. Oh, thank you. It's not going to be the last of Angina, don't worry.
Oh, I know.
There's going to be a lot more of me.
And if you have anything ever coming up and you want to talk about it, you're more than welcome to come on the show.
Oh, perfect. I'll come harass you guys. I have your phone number.
Yeah.
Thank
Please.
You so much.
Thanks, you guys.
All right, have sweetie. Go to Angina.com for anyone who needs to contact her.
And we'll put that in the chat room. And I just want to remind everybody that we will be here next Wednesday, as we are every Wednesday at 2 p.m., and you can find out more information about Jack at jackmackenroth.com, and you can check out the Pause I Am community at pauseiam.com. Wow, Jack, that was kind of cool for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, listening, like kind of like sitting in on a conversation between two good friends. Did you ever meet her beforehand?
I've never. I mean, I actually obviously contacted her about being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, and just because I just contacted her because I knew as coming out as an HIV positive person, kind of what the experience would be. And so we started chatting on Facebook, and I was like, you know, there's going to be, you can do a lot of good with this, and I hope, you know, whatever. And then I talked to her about, so we've had a few conversations, but we've never met in person.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that one day, hopefully.
Well, hopefully I'll be involved in that little circle when you're doing it too.
Yeah. And then when we go pick up our free t-shirts.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right. Well, Jack, you have a great week, and I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
I will see you next Wednesday. Thanks for everyone for listening, and it was a great show.
Yep, don't forget to add us as a friend on Blog Talk Radio and to favorite us. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye.